This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Here's the pitch. And Tucker hits a tapper. Slow roller to third. Clement unloads the first, and they get Tucker. Really nice play by Ernie Clement.
Yeah, he's having himself a nice three-run home run, and now a real big defensive play. Backhand.
Yep.
Quick release.
And speaking of quick release, you got to glance at the frustration of Kyle Tucker letting go of that helmet. We haven't seen that level of frustration displayed very frequently, if at all, from Kyle this year. But it's been a tough go.
I mean, I don't know how much it like really affected like my setup and like swing and everything. I mean, it didn't feel great at the time, but I mean, I just kind of dealt with it. And obviously, you just make adjustments to go out there and play. And you know, I'm sure other people have, you know, some things going on too that they just play with and make the adjustment with. So it's just kind of how things go.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Tough situation for Kyle Tucker and the Chicago Cubs. Hour number two on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. And where things sit, you know, we took some callers earlier in the show, Sean Sears and myself, and you know, you could hear that frustration even playing out with some of the callers there, because for one, it did feel like, you know, throughout this week, the Cubs showed some signs of life in a way that they hadn't in the last few weeks. Still a lot of credit to the pitching staff deserved for that. But timely hitting, you know, didn't look like the offensive behemoth that they were through the first couple of months of the season with all the power, all the pop, all the extra base hits. But timely hitting. Cubs haven't been doing much of that in recent weeks. But with runners in scoring position at key moments in the game, situations of leverage, they had some timely at-bats. Guys like Matt Shaw, Owen Casey swinging big sticks when it really mattered. And so, you know, that was really good to see and a positive sign for the Cubs. But then in the end, it's under this kind of Kyle Tucker fractured hand cloud. That clouds the results of the week that overall were positive. But then you come out of it, lose today's game. Kyle Tucker, after a couple of days off, back in the lineup and still looks like a guy with a fractured hand. And it's a really tough spot for him to be in. Now, you know, I was never in the Kyle Tucker position as being one of the best players in my particular sport in football. But so many of us as athletes can relate to the position he's in, especially if you've tried to play through injury and you've wanted to be out there with your teammates. And for me, I'm juxtaposing it really with this time of the year because – you know, my position, I was always one of those guys during my time in the NFL that was kind of from one season to the next, never completely certain about my spot on the roster, my role on a given team. And a lot of times I was out there playing through injury. And you know, I can't tell you how many times throughout my playing days I heard the phrase, can't make the club in the tub. I mean, just like it's yesterday, I'm sitting in the cold tub somewhere in Detroit, Charles Haley, Pro Football Hall of Famer. He's my D-line coach when I'm with the Lions. And I wasn't even missing practice time. I'm just in the cold tub, you know, just trying to get my back, my lower body, my knees, you know, already struggling at that point. I'm just getting my body right, just doing some maintenance. Can't make the club in the tub. Like, well, wait a minute. Yeah, I got some treatment on the back earlier, and I'm, you know, getting some ice and stem on the knees here, whatever. But I'm out there practicing. I'm out here doing my thing. And I was thinking of a scenario from my rookie year where when I was with Detroit and I was signed, you know, like all the congratulations in the world to Tyson Bagent as a guy who's an undrafted free agent and now 2 years into his career making real money. Signs this extension, a two-year extension, $10 million, chance for it to be up to $16 million. And, you know, the emotion that's there on the face of Tyson Bagent, that is the dream. It's, you know, the dream for a lot of players, but guys who are early draft picks where, you know, 2 years, 10 mil, that's, you know, they might just drive by that on the highway if they see a briefcase of $10 million in it because they know that they've already made and will continue to make more money than that. But when you're a late round pick, or especially if you're an undrafted free agent where the team has invested by NFL standards very little in you, when you get to the point where you're one of the guys on the roster that they solidly say, we want you to be around, we want to invest in you, after all this time that you've invested in yourself and in our ball club and in your craft, now we want to sort of return that favor and invest in you. That means so much to make it to that point in your career. And that's a part of the emotion that pours out of Tyson Bagent at that point. So I was one of the undrafted free agents early in my career as well. And as just kind of thinking through this Kyle Tucker scenario was reminding me a bit of my rookie year because I was, you know, I mean, some of the Bears linemen right now, you know, I was one of these guys who flashed a lot in the preseason, you know, would have great practices, like, you know, my rookie year going through as an undrafted free agent, going through mini camps and OTAs. I worked my way up to being with the second team with the Lions. And it's a really different atmosphere if you start to surpass some of the other vets on the team. And that was kind of a shock to the system for me coming straight out of college because in my mind, I was accustomed to sort of the we're all in this together vibe that's in a college football locker room where everyone is of one accord. Everyone's got one goal. Yeah, most of us are on scholarship and we're just trying to go out here and do what we can to win Big Ten games. In the NFL, when there's jobs on the line and vets have mouths to feed and, you know, some guys don't necessarily handle that the same way. A lot of them don't handle it the same way as you do in college, and understandably so. I didn't really get that at first. So as I start to surpass a few guys on the depth chart, and next thing I know, lo and behold, I'm getting into the preseason. I'm starting to work with the twos, and we got, you know, training camp coming up, and we're getting into pads, and things are going really well. And, you know, there's a vibe that people aren't being as helpful as they once were. So that's a part of the sort of mental hurdle that you get over when you are still getting accustomed to competing in professional sports. But then also, you have now, once you do get into pads, you start to play preseason games, then there's the next hurdle to get over with that. And in the very first preseason game, my rookie year, I end up breaking my foot. Now, we're playing a preseason game against the Bengals, and I'm out there, you know, starters, play like a series or two. Second team, go in there. Go out there with the twos, doing pretty well through the first couple of series. I'm out there, and at some point late in the first half, I get rolled up on, and I'm just thinking, all right, yeah, sprained my ankle. Fairly significant pain, but not a pain to the degree that I've never played through before. Let me spat up this foot. So I was never one to spat my feet. I always thought I was going to put my knees in more jeopardy. Go to the sideline, go into the locker room at halftime, have the trainers. And when you're talking about spat, you're basically putting ankle tape on the outside of your cleats. I go into the locker room at halftime, get spatted up, go out there, finish the game. We get x-rays on my foot afterwards. X-rays don't show a break anywhere. So, okay, I'll just limp through it and I'll get my treatment, my ice and stem, and eventually it'll get better. It didn't get better. It just continued to hurt. It hurt worse and hurt more and swelled up more significantly. And I didn't think I was going to make the club in the tub, so I just continued to limp through it the rest of that preseason. Lions cut me. Fortunately, end up getting picked up by the Green Bay Packers, and I'm over there with the Packers for the majority of my rookie season on the practice squad, and then Detroit brings me back later that year on the active roster. I say that just to point this out, because one reason that the Kyle Tucker scenario reminded me of that is because initially, when they got the test done on his hand, they didn't show a break. They didn't show a fracture. And I had a very similar situation with my foot, where the initial x-ray showed no break, showed no fracture, but then we didn't find out until the following offseason. I limped through my entire rookie year. I limped through the rest of those preseason games, and that year I was in the first year of Marty Morningweg. So we played. We had more mandatory mini camps because that's how life in the NFL was back then. And we had, I believe we played in the Hall of Fame game that year, so we had five preseason games. So I limped through the rest of the preseason, limped through the whole time in Green Bay, come back, activated by Detroit, limped through the rest of that first season. And then during mini camps the following offseason, I'm still limping around. Everybody's like, Ant, why are you still limping? You sprained your ankle like last August. I don't know. It hasn't healed. I can't tell you why I'm still limping. I just know it still hurts. We finally go and get a CT scan. Oh, your calcaneus bone is broken. Calcaneus bone is the one that's basically, it's the heel bone. And so the front and top of my heel bone had been broken the entire time. It just didn't show on an x-ray.
Oh, my
So finally,
gosh,
oh.
Gosh, Ant, that's crazy.
You got to have surgery to get your foot fixed. So then I missed the entire second season of my career because I had to have surgery on my foot after limping through my entire rookie season when it had been broken, but the x-ray didn't show it. So for Kyle Tucker and the additional impact that's been going on with that hand over and over again, I do wonder how much initial knowledge was there truly on the extent of the injury, and then at what point was his performance. Now, it's one thing for the numbers to dip, but at what point did the athletic training staff with the Cubs, did Craig Counsell himself have a deeper conversation? Because you would imagine it has to have happened up to this point, a deeper conversation on how impactful this has been on his performance, and who, like I was asking Bruce Levine about a little while ago, who's really the influential side of this thing here that still has Kyle Tucker in the lineup? Because at some point you're expecting to make postseason play and you want the best version of Kyle Tucker that you can access. And now the information is out there. At some point they had the information internally that it was a fracture, and now it's out there publicly as well. So there's some big decisions to make as it relates to the present tense of whether or not he's actually helping the Cubs in the lineup. The results from this week would indicate they can do okay without him, at least for right now, with some young bats swinging a good stick. But then moving forward, at what point can they get him looking like Kyle Tucker again? Is being in the lineup every day the way to get to that? Or is just sitting him down for a more extended period of time the way to get better results at the end of the year and during what you hope will be a playoff run from Kyle Tucker? Let's hear from Craig Counsell a little bit specifically on this topic, just in handling what's been going on, and especially now that things are public with the injury, with the fracture, which is just a broken, you know, might as well just call it a broken hand going through his biggest and best bat.
I mean, I think, you know, what Kyle does, which I think most players do, is you put your head down and you go to work, and there's a game the next day, and you go try to win the game the next day, and you go perform in the game the next day, and that's how you think about it. And he was things were going pretty well. Things were going very well, not pretty, very well. So that's how it went down.
It's Craig Counsell talking about Kyle Tucker and the injury there, and putting your head down and going back to work. All that makes sense. But then in the end, the results are what they are, and the results are drastically different than the Kyle Tucker that we've seen throughout his career. And it's not a big leap to believe we know why the results are now looking like they are. What is the best answer to get him back to the form that he'd been at throughout his entire career up until essentially the last month and a half. How do you get him back to that point? Putting him in the lineup after a day and a half of rest? That didn't seem to do it today. Playing him on a daily basis hasn't done it over the last month and a half. How do you get back to the best version of Kyle Tucker? Sean Sears, I was just kind of, you know, telling my story of woe before we kind of get to a break here. But from what you've seen from Tucker, what do you believe they should do? What do you believe they will do? Do you think they sit him down coming up here?
It's tough because he just does not look healthy, right? Like, even if they say he is right now, it's hard to believe what they're saying because they didn't tell you that he was dealing with this for the last couple months. But I feel like, especially if Owen Casey keeps hitting and Kyle Tucker's struggling, then maybe that's what you do. But ideally, you want Owen Casey and Kyle Tucker in the lineup, right? Like, you want to find a way to give up those guys, and they both seem good. So I think what you have to do, ideally, you know, like Bruce was talking about, you want them playing their best baseball when it matters most. If Kyle Tucker needs to rest a little bit here, you're coming up on a stretch where Cubs shouldn't be facing too many above 500 teams in the last month of the season. You hopefully can maybe sit Kyle Tucker a game or two. Maybe in a three-game set, he plays one or plays two, whatever it may be. But I think you've got to get him some rest and see if you can get him healthy because, you know, him going right, we saw how much of a difference it makes in this team.
Yeah, I have a hard time thinking that the way he's looking at the plate right now, all these ground balls and the short liners that are there, and even the numbers we've been talking about with his swing speed being less lately and that diminishing the overall power even when he makes solid contact. And the numbers indicate he just needs to sit down somewhere for a more extended period of time than 2 days.
100%. And he's a guy, too, that like his approach, he needs to be aggressive. But if he's constantly hitting the balls on the ground, like you're not going to see different results. Ultimately, you just have to maybe try and I'm sure he's trying a million different things. But I mean, when he first came through here those first 2 months of the season in Chicago, like it felt like it was impossible for him not to put the ball in the air. Now it feels like it's the exact opposite, right? So something has to change here, but it's tough for him because he's not a guy that always routinely works counts. Like, he does see pitches and he gets on bases, but like when he's at his best, like he's usually hitting that 0-1 pitch or the 2-1 fastball. That's where Kyle's at his best.
It certainly has been, not only with the Cubs but with the Astros as well, and he just hadn't been that same dude here lately. And you know, it'll take some guesswork, some educated guessing on how you get him back to that, but putting him out there every day certainly hasn't lent itself to the results that either Kyle Tucker or the Cubs would hope for in a go-for-it season that also happens to be a contract year for Tucker himself. We'll come back around to some more Kyle Tucker conversation later in the show, but there was some news out of Evanston today that I want to make sure you're all aware of as well before we get into some specific college football conversation a little bit later this hour with Matt Fortuna. But there's been a settlement reached between Pat Fitzgerald and Northwestern University. I'll give you the details on that next. I'm Anthony Herron. This is Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
A storyline that had all kinds of steam in it a couple of years ago that had, for understandable reasons, lost the public eye, now has reached an agreement, essentially. Pat Fitzgerald, former Northwestern football coach, has reached a settlement with Northwestern University. And I'm sure many of you remember a couple of years ago, back in the summer of 2023, when, you know, what was really largely unreported for a period of time was that there were some hazing allegations within the Northwestern football program. The university did an internal investigation at that point. And then after that investigation into the hazing allegations, they ended up suspending Pat Fitzgerald for 2 weeks during the summer of 2023. And then the school newspaper ended up coming out with a scathing sort of report on things that had gone on within the football program and players who were no longer with the team were quoted in that and had allegations about how things went. And after all that came out, and there were, you know, some of them indicating that Pat Fitzgerald must have known about it. And so just shortly thereafter, Pat Fitzgerald, after the university ended up suspending him for 2 weeks, then a few days later, after the school newspaper came out with their findings, their reporting, then they ended up deciding to fire Pat Fitzgerald at that point. So now here we are 2 years later, and in that time, Pat Fitzgerald ended up filing a wrongful termination lawsuit against Northwestern. He was seeking $130 million, and he had a very lengthy coaching contract in place. You know, ironically enough, the previous Big Ten football media days from 2022, one of the discussions I had with Pat Fitzgerald, and we were talking about just what was sort of evolving in college football with rules and transfers and everything else. And, you know, one of the comments he made to me back at that point was, well, you know, at least I've got, you know, enough job security where I can kind of speak freely on these things. And that stuck out to me a year later as everything, you know, began embroiling Northwestern football at that point. Man, you know, he seemed like one of those coaches who was certainly least likely to no longer be in his role a year later. And there he was when Northwestern fired Pat Fitzgerald the following summer. And so David Braun has, of course, taken the program over since then. But now there has been a settlement reached between Pat Fitzgerald and Northwestern University. And so multiple statements have come out during the day today. The statement from the university reads as this. Today, Northwestern University and former head football coach Pat Fitzgerald settled the lawsuit Coach Fitzgerald filed regarding his July 2023 dismissal. The parties are not disclosing the specific terms of the settlement. Northwestern's number one priority is the health and safety of all members of its community, including our student athletes. The university has taken action to ensure hazing will not occur again, including new training and additional steps for feedback and reporting. While the litigation brought to light highly inappropriate conduct in the football program and the harm it caused, the evidence uncovered during extensive discovery did not establish that any player reported hazing to Coach Fitzgerald or that Coach Fitzgerald condoned or directed any hazing. Moreover, when presented with the details of the conduct, he was incredibly upset and saddened by the negative impact this conduct had on players within the program. Northwestern appreciates Coach Fitzgerald's 26 years as a Northwestern player and coach. Northwestern is proud of Coach Fitzgerald's team's success on the field as well as its success in the classroom. Northwestern football had the highest graduation rate of any Division I football program from 2016 through 2022. Northwestern wishes Coach Fitzgerald the best in resuming his football career. That's the statement from Northwestern University. Pat Fitzgerald came out with his own statement through his legal representation as well. That reads as such: I've agreed to a settlement that resolves my breach of contract, defamation, and intentional infliction of emotional distress claims against Northwestern University and its president. For the past 2 years, I've engaged in a process of extensive fact and expert discovery, which showed that I've known and said all, which showed what I have known and said all along, that I had no knowledge of hazing ever occurring in the Northwestern football program and that I had never directed or encouraged hazing in any way. Through discovery, I learned that some hazing did occur in the football program at Northwestern. I am extremely disappointed that members of the team engaged in this behavior and that no one reported it to me so that I could have alerted Northwestern's athletic department and administrators, stopped the inappropriate behavior, and taken every necessary step to protect Northwestern's student-athletes. In July of 2023, when Northwestern first summarized to me the hazing conduct investigated by Maggie Hickey, I was eager to address the misconduct with the team and put an end to any improper behavior, just like I had in every other facet of my work during my 17 years as Northwestern's head coach. The rush to judgment in the media in July of 2023 and the reports that suggested I knew about and directed hazing are false and have caused me, my wife, and my three sons great stress, embarrassment, and reputational harm in the last 2 years. Though I maintain Northwestern had no legal basis to terminate my employment for cause under the terms of my employment agreement, in the interest of resolving the matter, and in particular, to relieve my family from the stress of ongoing litigation, Northwestern and I have agreed to a settlement, and I am satisfied with the terms of the settlement. One final paragraph is more platitudes from Pat Fitzgerald there, but that's the bulk of each of the two statements. Just for me to editorialize for a moment after the statement from Northwestern, statement from Pat Fitzgerald, certainly known and covered Pat Fitzgerald for a long time. You know, it's always a touchy thing and a difficult thing to assume that a head coach should know everything that goes on in their athletic department. But also there's the aspect of, if you believe the players, their statements, their allegations for what went on with them, how they were hazed during their time in Northwestern football, then I certainly believe there's a case to be made that the head football coach should know, essentially, and should have been in a position to do something about that for things that were taking place in his orbit, very closely in his orbit, allegedly, according to these former players. So it's a very touchy and difficult thing for Northwestern to have sifted through. They boggled it and mismanaged it, and now here's Pat Fitzgerald in the last couple of years since then, you know, jobless basically. But, you know, think back to like Maryland, their football coach from years ago before the current coach, Mike Locksley, came back to the university and took over the football program. DJ Durkin had a player, Jordan McNair, die on his watch during summer workouts. He got paid millions of dollars by Maryland after a player died on his watch. Now, again, he wasn't there directing the workouts. The strength staff is doing that, and athletic trainers are out there. But DJ Durkin's the head football coach at that time. He's relieved of his duties, but gets paid out millions of dollars afterwards because that's just how these contracts tend to go. Coaches tend to get paid. The DJ Durkin scenario had grave consequences for one of his players. And now, for what took place at Northwestern, Pat Fitzgerald, we'll see if this is the period at the end of that sentence. Maybe he ends up back in coaching, but you know, him no longer coaching Northwestern, it certainly doesn't indicate he won't be able to coach anywhere again at this point. That certainly seems to be what the statement from Northwestern and the statement from Pat Fitzgerald himself are indicating that he's looking forward to trying to get back into coaching. And I do know he's got a lot of close friends in the coaching industry, and he certainly had a lot of success during his time as a head coach at Northwestern. So we'll continue to follow that close and just see what develops next for Pat Fitzgerald. We'll keep some college football conversation rolling, but more so about some of the other broader storylines that have developed here as we are in the midst of week zero, and then week one will be upon us with all the major conferences getting back onto the field next week. And then we also have some news out of the Southeastern Conference that'll impact so many major decisions that have been getting discussed related to the college football playoff, who's going to be included in it, how conference alignment ends up working out, where now the SEC has gone to 9 conference games. A lot of folks have been waiting on that. We'll talk some college foosball with Matt Fortuna next on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave. Welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
One play to keep it going. Robertson's first snap of the night. He escapes, running out of time. Robertson, incomplete. Iowa State holds and gets it back. That will do it. History for Iowa State with a chance at more. Their first 10-win season ever.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That's how it sounded on Fox Sports last year. Kansas State, KSU, and ISU opened up the 2024 season, or will open up the 2025 season. But last year, they were closing things out. And now, they will be over in Dublin, over in Ireland, in week zero action to open up this college football season. Anthony Heron on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Aviva Stadium, I've never been there. I wonder if my guest has been over there as of yet. Let's go out to the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, and get my guy Matt Fortuna involved in this conversation because I've never even been to Dublin, Matt, let alone to Aviva Stadium. Have you made your way there yet?
I've been to Dublin. I've not been to Aviva Stadium. You know who has? A guy I'm probably going to get asked about here, Pat Fitzgerald. His last win as a head coach.
Right.
Came in Dublin against Nebraska in 2022.
Yeah, yeah, very true. Northwestern was over there, and I didn't get around to asking who I assume was our mutual friend Kevin Fishbane about that earlier because I know he very rarely misses any Northwestern football happenings, but I knew I had you coming up so we'd be able to attack this topic when it came about. But you mentioned it, so let's start there. Northwestern, Pat Fitzgerald, they reach a settlement, and you know, I've covered Pat Fitzgerald in professional capacities for years at this point, and I've always liked him quite a bit. You know, I'm not so many folks on social media very strongly and staunchly saying that, you know, he was wrong by Northwestern and you know, he's got to get immediately back into coaching. I believe he'll coach again. I don't know that him not being the head coach at Northwestern again is necessarily the wrong thing, because while the findings, he's getting paid a lot of money, apparently, it would seem, but yet and still, some bad things seem to have happened while he was guiding Northwestern football. So, I mean, in the end, I think he'll be fine and he'll get back into coaching. How do you see the way things have played out here? I think Northwestern just kind of bungled the whole thing, and if they would have fired him right off the bat, maybe the reaction would be different now. I don't know. That's a bit of conjecture. But how do you see now this, that they've reached a settlement?
Yeah, that part is absolutely true, Andy. I mean, Northwestern is bungled this every which way, right? From the initial suspension to releasing that on at the time was a summer Friday, hoping it would go away, to overreacting to reports that came out afterward. And I mean, if you look at the statement from the school today, it had pretty much everything except we're sorry. You know,
yeah, like, yeah, right.
It was darn near contrite, which you never see, right? I mean, it was pretty clear just reading the results of today's settlement, that Pat Fitzgerald was wronged. I don't know what he got financially out of all this. He was suing for $130 million. He obviously didn't get that much if they're settling. But his agent, Brian Harlan, said, and let me find the exact quote here, quote, it was a lengthy process, but we're very, very satisfied with the terms of the settlement. Coach Fitzgerald is eager to resume his coaching career, end quote. That's two berries. And I don't know how many millions each berry is worth, but I'm sure it's a lot.
Yeah, maybe 20 million per vary or something like that. Who knows? That's just guesswork on my part. But, you know, it does seem. And he's got a lot of friends in the coaching industry. And, you know, he's really well liked by the public and by the coaches and by a lot of former players and everyone else. So it would seem that he is likely to get back into coaching. That's what both his statement and Northwestern's statement seem to indicate. How quickly do you think something like that is plausible?
You know, it's interesting. I'm curious to hear your take as well as an Iowa guy, because his son, you know, is on the roster this year, Ryan Fitzgerald, yeah, a walk-on quarterback. And I think a lot of people have just kind of tried to put two and two together and say, well, he'll just go coach at Iowa. Maybe he'll be an analyst this year, and maybe he'll be DC next year, and maybe he'll succeed Kirk one day. And, you know, I think that's getting way too far down the road. He absolutely wants to coach again. I think there absolutely will be a market for him now that, you know, everything is behind him, legally speaking. But he's an interesting case independent of all this, right? I mean, you look at his career, I forget how old he was. He was young 30s when he got the head coaching job at Northwestern after Randy Walker died. But he was a linebacker's coach. You know, he's never been a coordinator. He's never called a play.
Right.
So not to say he can't do it, but it's not like, oh, we got this defensive genius, so we're going to make our DC and be great. I think it's a little more complicated than that. And the other part, I don't know the exact number, but I think it's in the dozens of jobs that Pat Fitzgerald didn't even bother listening to over his time at Northwestern. I think every NFL team at one point or another had inquiries for him. Multiple big colleges did. He chose to stay at Northwestern every time. Maybe things are different now that he's about to be an empty nester. I don't know. But, you know, for a guy who was so married to his home city, Chicago, his alma mater, Northwestern, who you know was a lifer there, you know, can he afford to be as picky? Does 2 years off the sideline, 3 years, if you include this one, open his eyes maybe a little bit to the idea of possibly going to another part of the country? I don't know. There will be a market for him, but I'm curious to seeing what capacity. Because, I mean, again, as celebratory as this is for him today, let's not forget his last two teams at Northwestern were 3-9 and 1-11. They weren't exactly lighting the world on fire.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, he was obviously, by Northwestern standards, a very successful football coach during his time there. The fact that he hadn't been a coordinator, you know, those are things that I think athletic directors, it would have to likely be a particular job, the right type of job, unless he were going to be a position coach, which, you know, that's probably a few rungs down the ladder below what he would hope for, at least at the collegiate level. Now, in the NFL, different story. So we'll see, and we'll certainly follow it closely. Now, some of the other bigger stories in college football that, you know, I was really, I guess, pleasantly surprised to see that the Southeastern Conference, and yeah, this drum has been getting banged for a while here between, like, going back to my time at the Pac-12 Network and now getting back in my home conference with the Big Ten Network for years now. Like, man, SEC playing 9 when a whole lot of other major conferences are, or SEC playing 8 when a lot of other major conferences are playing 9, and they're scheduling essentially another bye week in November with the FCS matchup. All right, now they're essentially modernizing their schedule. Do you think it ends here, or are there other immediate ripple effects of the SEC announcing they're going to a 9-game conference slate in 2026?
Yeah, the pigs are flying, dogs are talking, and the SEC's playing 9 conference games. I never thought I'd see the day. They've teased it for so long, but they love those bye games. They love playing soft non-conference schedules. And you figured this would be automatic once they expanded, right? Adding Texas, Oklahoma. I mean, it's absurd that a 16-team conference plays just 8 conference games. I mean, Alabama plays at Georgia this year for the first time in 10 years. What's the point of even being in a conference if you're going to go a full decade between visiting a peer institution? I don't get it. So happy to see that the SEC finally figured that out. And not only did they figure that part out, they also, in the release, said we're going to require our schools to schedule at least one non-conference game against a power conference school or Notre Dame. And to me, that's almost like a take that, Big Ten. The Big Ten's done a lot of crowing and a lot of complaining throughout this offseason, particularly media days when they were on the crusade for automatic qualifiers. And I thought all along this was just, you know, a front to essentially get the SEC to get to 9 conference games, or at the very least, if that did not happen, to reinforce to the selection committee, hey, we are not equal, right? You can't judge our records the same if we're playing one extra conference game and they're not. And the SEC just went ahead and maybe they called their bluff. I don't know. We'll see how the Big Ten ultimately responds. But in theory, this should be the last major hurdle to get on the same page in regards to college football playoff expansion. I still think a 16-team field with just 5 automatic bids for the 5 conference champions is most likely. I think it makes the most sense. Coaches of the SEC are certainly behind that, and coaches of the Big Ten indicated they would be behind it if the SEC chose to play 9 conference games. So I'm curious to see if it's as simple as that and they play, sing kumbaya together and get this thing done, or if they're going to find something else to complain about and we'll go through this exercise for a whole another year.
And frankly, the SEC enhancing the difficulty of their regular season, I believe, will benefit them. That's a part of what held Alabama out of the playoff picture last year, because they didn't have an additional data point to respond to the fact that they got bludgeoned by Oklahoma and lost to Vanderbilt. You know, if you had another tough game on the schedule somewhere to balance that out, then Alabama's resume could have been better. Ole Miss could have had a better resume. South Carolina, who ended up getting beat by Illinois in the bowl game, they could have had a playoff-worthy resume, but the 8 conference games and the bye game in November, that did seem to negate their chances enough for Indiana to be the obvious choice to get in over them. And, you know, SMU and Boise State, obviously, you know, different situations there as well. Matt, the fact that now here we sit with the power conference structure being, you know, pretty solidified, now it does lead to the idea that the playoff, at whatever point it expands and in whatever way it does, the Big Ten and the SEC will have the opportunity to lead the way. And Tony Petitti, the Big Ten commissioner himself, he did say that, yeah, if the SEC goes to 9 games, then I'd be very open to a 5+11 model that folks have been pushing. So how quickly do you think, because there's a timeline coming up during the winter months here that supposedly some decisions are expected by?
Yeah, they got to get this done before December, before December 1st, from my understanding, and that makes sense, obviously, if we're going to schedule a new playoff format for the following season. They're all scheduled to get together, the commissioners and Notre Dame's athletic director, for playoff meetings here in Chicago in late September. I'm sure they'll have communication via Zoom and otherwise before then. We'll see how much damage was done by the Big Ten's, you know, media days crusade, and then, you know, leaking on Saturday their ideas for a potential 2024-2018 format, which, you know, there were a lot of people around the country in college sports who were a little perturbed by, one, the idea, and two, the fact that they found out about it through the media. But I still say, maybe this is, you know, just the journalist in me, I think this was a complete coordinated PR move, strategically released on Saturday when nothing ever gets released, to get all of us to stop talking about the Michigan scandal that dropped on Friday. Like, I just think, which worked, right? We're not talking about Michigan anymore. So I think that was probably it. But we'll see when they all get together. And again, like, this is just me speaking personally as a fan, as a reporter. You know, I'm fine with sticking with 12, right? I mean, let's face it. I think 12 is good for a lot of reasons, as far as keeping the whole nation engaged all year, to making more games matter, to making characters like Cam Scadabo get introduced to a national audience when he otherwise wouldn't be, right? Like, I think that's good. But we're both kidding ourselves if we can find 12 teams in a given year that are good enough to win a national championship. So if we're going to expand that beyond 12, I think we risk watering down the field a little bit. And you got to protect the regular season, right? Like, it's already weird enough that Ohio State won the national title in the same year they lost to Michigan. You don't want some of these bigger games to lose their luster or to not matter as much. I mean, even, you know, you look at Notre Dame's schedule right now, they've obviously got a new quarterback coming out. They open at Miami against A&M, and, you know, they're more likely to win both than they are to lose both. But I don't think it's crazy to think they could start 0-2, win 10 straight, and still get in the playoff, right? Like, that's not to say these games don't matter, but, you know, there certainly isn't the stakes that there used to be.
Yeah, and there's that balance to it, because one of the cool things with college football is that the regular season has always had such gravity to it every individual week. You start to water down the postseason, and then the regular season doesn't have the same weight to it. So it is, I think, a difficult balance for them with expanding the playoff as much as they seemingly want to. Matt, always great talking to you, and just especially now that we're in week zero of college football. Appreciate your time. Let's do it again soon.
Yeah, let's throw back some pints together this weekend, since we can't be in Dublin ourselves.
All right, we can make that happen. That is Matt Fortuna. He's the founder of the Inside Zone, college football's newest online community, co-host of The Independent, and also you can see him as a contributor on CHSN. Find him all over social media at Matt_Fortuna. Always fun when I get to talk to Matt and talking football. And Football Talk on The Score is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Let's get back into some baseball chatter, because of everything that's been going on with the Cubs on the north side. And this week, some positive, some negative, and kind of this dark cloud of the fracture hanging over the storyline with the guys out of Wrigley. Let's get some perspective on what's happening with the Cubs. We'll do that next on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.